Welcome to Overwhelming Joy. Are you glowing, growing, or don't know where you're going? Well, you've come to the right place. Together as daughters of the King of Kings, our highest privilege is to faithfully commune with God and humbly walk in obedience to His truth as He reveals Himself to us in His Word. I'm Paulette, and thank you for joining me today. Pull up your chair, Bible, and journal, and pour yourself a cup of joy.
Welcome to Motivational Monday. I'm going to share with you something that I've been reading and studying in Ephesians. This is something that is in my one-year YouVersion Bible plan. I finished Galatians, and now I am in Ephesians. We're going to look at Ephesians 1, which is a letter written by Paul, the Apostle of Christ, and he wrote it to the saints of Ephesus, which is why it's called Ephesians. And he begins in chapter 1 with basically a spiritual blessing of Christ, that he's basically giving them 10 reasons that they should give God praise. And I don't know about you, but we all need to be reminded of why God is worthy of our praise. Despite our present circumstances, He is worthy of praise. In spite of our circumstances, He is worthy of praise. And because of our circumstances, He is worthy of praise. So I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to just start reading Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for this ability to share together as believers Your Word. Heavenly Father, please meet us. Remind us, allow the Holy Spirit to reveal Your truths to us, that You are so worthy of our praise. Forgive us where we fail to recognize You and praise You. Help us know that You are worthy of it, no matter our circumstances, that You are our joy, even if we aren't happy. It's in Your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us for adoption to Himself as sons and daughters through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of His will, to the praise of His glorious grace with which He has blessed us in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us, in all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of His will, according to His purpose, which He set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to unite all things in Him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, so that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in Him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of His glory. Paul's 10 reasons to give God praise. Number one, He blessed us immensely. Number two, He chose us unconditionally. Number three, He adopted us adoringly. Number four, He redeemed us graciously. Number five, He forgave us completely. Number six, He graces us lavishly. Number 7, he reveals mystery wisely. Number 8, he grants us an inheritance eternally. Number 9, he seals us permanently. And number 10, he guaranteed our salvation personally. If you think about, let's just go back and look at the verbs. Blessed, chose, adopted, redeemed, forgave, graces, reveals, grants, seals, and guarantees. Ooh, come on, ladies. What at all do we have to wonder or worry about when we hear those verbs? That's what God the Father, through Jesus Christ the Son, by way of the Holy Spirit, has done, is doing, and will always do for us. He blesses us. He chose us. He adopted us. He redeemed us. He forgave us. He graces us. He reveals to us. He grants us. He sealed us. He's guaranteed us. But he wants more for us than just that. He wants more for us than what he did and has done. He wants us to continue to get to know him by way of the Holy Spirit, who reveals his truths to us. He wants us to continue to gain knowledge of Christ, to deepen our intimacy. He wants to reveal more hope than we've had. He wants to show us his immeasurable power that we have yet to understand or experience. He wants us to walk around as an advertisement to others about him. He wants us to walk our faith. He wants us to invite others to walk our faith alongside us. He wants us to continue to be renewed. He wants us to continue to experience him, not just be satisfied with the fact that we have salvation from him. He wants us to put in the work. He wants us to grow in faith. He wants us to be dedicated. He wants us to be worthy warriors in this world. He wants us, through Christ Jesus and the blood shed through the Holy Spirit, he wants us to realize that we are holy temples of him, that he's building us, he dwells within us, but he's going to continue to equip us, and equipping hurts. Equipping means that we aren't satisfied with who we are now, that we are open, we are searchable, eyes up, palms out. Send us, urge us, move us, convict us, correct us, humble us, lead us, guide us, push us, equip us, build us. That's my hope for myself and for anyone listening that is earnestly wanting to be spurred on. Let's look at Ephesians 5. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. Be imitators of God as beloved children. Verse 2, and walk in love as Christ loved, as he gave himself up for us. Be a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. A fragrant offering and sacrifice doesn't say, God, this is what I need. A fragrant offering and sacrifice to God says, God, what do you need? What do you need, God? Ephesians 5, verse 8, for at one time you were darkness, weren't we all? Go back to the time that you know, that you know, that you know, that you asked Jesus Christ into your heart as your Lord and Savior. Before that, we were children of darkness. But now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. And then I love, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. Oh, wow. Look at Ephesians 5, verse 16. Making the best use of the time. Making the best use of the time. My little Tuesday night group of women that we call Bible boot campers are making a commitment to look at our calendar. When to say no, when to say yes. Always available to God, not always available to everyone else. Guarding our first love, first fruits, having our Bible time, our prayer time. Being mindful of the margin, looking at the situation this season. Not giving out of empty, giving out of overflow. Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ, which is verse 21, Ephesians 5. Submitting to one another, meaning we hold each other accountable. We hold each other accountable. We give thanks. We lift each other up. We Marco Polo each other. We text each other. We are available for each other. We let each other in on prayer requests. We are honest. We're vulnerable. We say, we missed a few days getting in the Word of God this week, but we're determined to get back on schedule and rhythm next week. I mean, we're just real, because that's what we need to do as beloved children and siblings of God, as fellow daughters and sisters. We have to know that it's important to be accountable to someone. It keeps us on our God game. It helps us check the motives of our heart. It helps us be honest with, like, life is hard right now. I like to think of things sometimes as like a little spiritual cheek slap. Like, come on, you're better than this. Always with a holy hug. Like, we love you. You are doing so well. We are so proud of you. But come on, girl. Check yourself. Submit back to God. Surrender something. Lay it down. One vulnerable Marco Polo a few days ago from one of my Bible boot campers was basically, I've done it again. I've taken on too much. It's hard for me to say no. So you know what? That's where we come in. We can look at her calendar and say, nope, you're doing too much. Because by doing too much, just to be doing too much, even if it's good stuff, it's getting you away from that ability to be restful and still with God. If you don't have enough time in your day to be restful and still with God, evaluate your commitments. He doesn't want you empty and running out of gas, but Satan does. So again, Ephesians 5, 15, look carefully then how you walk. Don't walk unwisely. Walk wise, making the best use of your time. So many women that I have been honored to walk with or walk through or at least bump into in the last few years up here in Northwest Arkansas, one of the most common threads of why they don't read the Bible, journal, map, study, comes down to the same thing. I just don't have enough time. Go with me. Your life on earth is ended. You're standing however it's going to look. You know, sometimes it's like you're the pearly gates. We don't know what it's going to be like. We don't know how that encounter is going to be when we first are able to see God revealed. Or the glory of him. I don't want my first thought to be, I wished I'd spent more time with you. I wished you had been more important to me. I wish you'd have been my first love. I wished I'd had a longing for your truth. I wished I could have known how to trust you more. I wished I would have rested in you more. I don't want that to be my first thought. I hope my first thought is overwhelming awe. Like, wow, I'm home. And sure, there'll be, I think, an awareness of where only by his salvation did we not fall short. But I just want you to stop and pause for a minute. If you are convicted right now listening to this of, gosh, I wish I had more time to make God a priority, that's the Holy Spirit. That's the prompting of the Holy Spirit to say, it's not too late. You can start today. You can start tomorrow. You can begin to look more carefully how you walk. You can choose wisdom. You can make the best use of your time. It's not too late. It's not too late. This is the perfect time to start. This is the perfect place to joyfully surrender. Joyfully surrender. Choose joy, it's a choice. Choose joy, it's a choice. And the word rejoice is choosing it again. Rejoice in the Lord always. It's again and again and again. Well, I chose joy yesterday. Well, guess what? Rejoice. Rechoose joy today. And rechoose it tomorrow. And rechoose it the next day. Well, how can I find joy in the midst of a trying circumstance? Center your life around Christ. Get your nose in the Bible. Get your hands writing something in response to his word. Be strong in the Lord. Let's look at Ephesians 6, verses 10. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. Put it on. Don't know it's there. Put it on. I know about the armor of God. That's like a coat hanging in your closet that you know you own, but you don't need. Put it on. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Well, life's hard. That's the schemes of the devil. Well, I'm having a hard time being able to stand up against it. That's because maybe you haven't put the whole armor of God on. For we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over present darkness. Spiritual warfare, ladies, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, verse 13, take up the whole armor of God. Doesn't mean buy it, put it in your closet. Doesn't mean buy it and have it hanging out. Put it on, that you're able to withstand in the evil day. The truth of God's word tells us what to do. It tells us what to do. And having done that, put it on, stand firm. Stand firm. You got this now, girl. Put on the belt of truth. Read the word. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. That way you'll have protection over your heart. Put on shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. That stand still. I think that's why it has you put them on your feet. Quit running. Quit running. Put on the peace shoes. Put on the peace shoes. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith. A shield. And that's your shield. I feel that shield is representative of your faith. The shield may not start very big, because at first, our faith isn't very big. But as we are hit again and again and again with situations that drive us emotionally back to God and back to the truth, I feel my shield grows. It's nothing I'm doing. It's what I'm allowing God to do in me. So now when I pick up that shield, yes, it's heavy, but it's large. And that's going to extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. That's verse 16. I'm not making this up. Verse 17. And take that helmet of salvation. Christ died for that. And that sword of the Spirit, God gave him to me, which is the Word of God. And Jesus is the Word. And then praying at all times, how? In the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication, to the end, keep alert, persevere, and make your supplication for all the saints. What do? You go boldly to the throne room. Sometimes I think of it as being thrown into the throne room. You get what I'm saying? THROWN, throne. Sometimes I'm like, wow, where did this situation come up from? I feel like this was just thrown at me. And sometimes I think of it as, well, God had to get Paul's attention somehow. Kind of like putting a kid in time out. The kid may be like, what is happening? And all of a sudden you're like, that is enough. Go sit right there. I think that's what God does to me. He's like, Paulette, this does not look good on a daughter of the king. I'm going to throw you into the throne room. Now do I have your attention? Great. Let's talk again. Eyes on me. That's something we used to say as teachers, or have maybe you've said it as a parent. Sometimes I feel that from God. I've been thrown to the throne room because he loves me so much. He loves me so much. He loves me so much. It's eyes on me, Paulette. Do not be dismayed. For he is our God. He formed us. We are precious. He loves us. He only wants our love to increase and grow. Philippians 1, verse 18. Yes, I will rejoice. Choose joy. Again and again and again. Rejoice.
May we all continue in pursuit of more of God's presence in our lives. With God, we have the power to shift our perspective from what I am dwelling on to who I am dwelling in. I'm Paulette. Join me next time at my table for more overwhelming joy.